Engage yourself fully, therefore, in the devotional service of the Lord, for only He can deliver us from this entanglement of material existence. Although the Lord is attached to His material potency, He is aloof from her activities. Everything in this material world is happening by the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So repeat after me, please. Engage yourself fully.
Engage yourself fully.
Therefore, in devotional service of the Lord.
Therefore, in devotional service of the Lord.
For only He can deliver us from.
For only He can deliver us from.
This material, this entanglement of material existence. Although the Lord is attached to His material potency.
Although the Lord is attached to His material potency.
He is aloof from her activities.
He is aloof from her activities.
Everything in this material world is happening.
Everything in this material world is happening.
By the inconceivable potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Prabhupada Srila Prabhupada, in continuation to the previous verse, it is specifically mentioned here that Dhruva Maharaj should engage himself in devotional service. Devotional service cannot be rendered to the impersonal Brahman feature of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Whenever the word bhajasyaha appears, meaning engage yourself in devotional service, there must be the servant, the service and the self. The Supreme Personality of God is self. The mode of activity to please Him is called service, and one who renders the service is called the servant. Another significant feature of this verse is that only the Lord and no one else is to be served. This is confirmed in the Bhagavad Gita, Mam Ekam Sarnam Vraja. There is no need to serve the demigods who are just like the hands and legs of the Supreme Lord. When the Supreme Lord is served, the hands and legs of the Supreme Lord is automatically served. There is no need of separate service, as stated in Bhagavad Gita. Tesam Aham Samudrita Mithi Samsara Sagara. This means that the Lord, in order to show specific favor to the devotee, directs the devotee from within in such a way that ultimately he is delivered from the entanglement of material existence. No one but the Supreme Lord can help the living entity be delivered from the entanglement of this material world. This material energy is a manifestation of one of the Supreme Personality of God's varieties of potency. Parasya Sakti Vibhiribaha Suryate. But in the same time, he has nothing to do with the material energy. The living entity who is of the material marginal energy is entrapped by the material energy on the basis of his desire to lord it over the material world. The Lord is aloof from this, but when the same living entity engages himself in the devotional service of the Lord, then he becomes attached to this service. The situation is called Yuktaham, for devotee of Lord is present even in the material energy. For the devotees, the Lord is present even in the material energy. This is the inconceivable potency of the Lord. Material energy acts in the three modes of material qualities, which produces the actions and reactions of material existence. Those who are not devotees become involved in such activities, whereas devotees who are devoted with the Supreme Personality of Godhead are freed from such actions and reactions of this material energy. The Lord is therefore described here and as Bhavasyajidham, one who can give deliverance from the entanglement of material existence. Om Ajnana Timrandasya Chalanjana Shalakaya Chakshurunmiltam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakadamayam Dadati Sunpadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Siddhapadakamnam Shri Guru Svaishnavam Shri Rupam Sahagrajatam Sahagna Raghunatam Vitam Tam Sajivam Sadhvaitam Sadhbhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padam Sahagna Lalita Shri Vishakam Vikam Kam Sajitam Vancha Kalpataro Bhayasya Kripa Sindhu Eva Chapatitanam Pavne Bhayo Vaishna Veo Namo Namam Sapta Kanchan Dorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishvanusite Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Sivasadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna. So we are talking about Dhruva Maharaj goes back to Godhead. This is basically one of the main topics of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's all about devotional service. So when we talk about devotional service, there are three aspects to that. One is that there has to be a person who's going to do the service. And the service itself and the person who is being served. So we're going to try to understand who is the servant. What is the meaning of service and what kind of service we should be doing and who we should be serving. So how Bhagavatam is about all this. And I'm going to try to talk to you in 45 minutes to hour what it is. So let's understand why we are here in the first place. The reason why we are in this material world is because we want to be the Lord. We want to be the one who is saved. Right? So rather than being the servant, we are trying to be the Lord. So first thing to understand is that we are not this. We are not the Lord. We are the servant. So let's analyze ourselves. Let's do a little bit of self-realization. Okay. What is the size of the soul? You take the hair, tip of the hair, you divide it by 100 times. Then you take one bit of it and then divide it by another 100 times. You know how small that is? That's what our size is. It's even smaller than the atoms. Now how come something that is so small, you know, want to be the Lord of it? That all of us are souls. Right, so there is equality in all of us. So how can there be so many gods? God has to be the greatest. There has to be only one God. So this is our situation. Once we realize that we are not this God, we are actually the servant. That's the first step to everything. Does that make sense? Now this is not that difficult to understand. We can understand our position. Now when I lift this Bhagavatam, you just understood what is my size, right? And this is millions of times bigger and heavier than that. So how we are able to do it? As in the Prabhupada it says, everything is done by the energy of the Lord. So the next thing we have to understand is that we do not have the ability to do anything. regardless of whatever we are doing, we have no capability of doing anything. This is our position. This is our true position. The only thing we can do is desire. Right? So this is our position. Only thing we can do is, does all our desires come true? Right? How many people buy a lottery ticket every time there is a lottery? You know how is it? Every week or whatever. Right? Does it make sense? So what is the difference? They have done the activity, but did they get the result? So whom is the result dependent on? Is it dependent on the individual, or is it dependent on somebody else? So the only thing we can do is, we can desire. And only if Krishna sanctions it, then it's going to happen. No, then it's not going to happen. The three modes of material nature makes it happen. We even don't make it happen. So we desire, Krishna sanctions it, and the three modes of material nature carries that action and makes it happen. So what we have done? Nothing, huh? All we did was desire. We didn't even do the activity. And this is our situation. And we, this little soul, which is so minute, thinks that we are the doer of everything. Make sense? So once you understand your position as marginal, as so small, so insignificant that we can't do even anything without the mercy of the Lord, then that's the first stage of self-realization. The same soul is in the body of an elephant, the same soul is in the body of an ant. And both are moving. It's not moving because of the power of the soul. It's moving because of the power of the super soul in the body. So this is very important to understand your actual position. If you don't understand your position, then how can you actually go any further? Now let's understand the next thing. Who is God? Who is Krishna? Who is Krishna? He's there. He comes in many forms. He comes as Narsingadev. He is in Vaikuntha as Lord Narayan. Is there a difference in them? Somebody is saying no? Anybody saying yes? Yes? So there's yes and no, right? So both are right. So what is the difference? It's the same God, right? You take one candle, you use, they all have the same potency, they get the same amount of light and heat, right? There's a difference is that one is the original. That's the only difference. So why does God have to actually come into so many forms? Why does he have to be in Vaikuntha form? Or in the Vaikuntha as Lord Narayan? Why does he have to be in Ayodhya as Lord Ramchandra? Vasudev Krishna in Dwarka form, then the Lord takes that form. Does that make sense? So if you want to serve the Lord in our reverence, then you go to Lord Vaikuntha Dham, where you worship Lord Narsingha, Lord Narayan. Does that make sense? If you want to see Krishna in a married form, then you either go to Dwarka, or you can go to Ayodhya, where Lord Ramchandra is married. But we are more interested in Vraj Krishna, because this is the special mercy of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. We are very fortunate. Lord Krishna, there is 1,000 cycles of 4 yugas in a day of Brahma. Right? 999 times we chant the same mantra, the Hare Krishna mantra, and where do we end up? In Vaikuntha Dham. Once we have an opportunity to go to Golok Vrindavan Dham. It's only when Krishna appears and then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appears. Because the same mantra are empowered in different potencies. And at this time Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has put his potency, which is Braja Prem. Right? So this is a very special time. You know, we should make every endeavor to actually go back to Godhead. So Krishna in Vrindavan, he's standing in three bending form, right? is a peacock feather on his forehead. He wears a pitamber dhoti, golden in color. And what is his color? Blackish or bluish? Bluish, right? Looks black. So why is Krishna's color black or blue? When you mix all the color together, it becomes like that. Does that make sense? You take the black color and you can take different colors out of it. Right, so one of the color is golden, and golden represents Mahabhava, the devotion. And who gets that color? And why is he? Because he is in charge of devotion. And her only role is to please Krishna. So devotional service means to only please Krishna. Do anything and everything with the desire to please Krishna. This is the difference in different places. When you go into Vaikuntha Dham, Ayodhya Dham, you know, even Dwarka and in Vrindavan. In Vrindavan, all the devotees have only one desire. They do not care for what's going to happen to them. They have only one desire, to actually save Krishna and to make him happy. Everything, right from the trees to the dust of Vrindavan, to the gopis, the parents, they have only one desire, how to actually please Krishna. And this is the place where you're going to go to. So how do we save? So first thing you have to realize is that there's only one devotee. And who is that devotee? Radharani. So that Vishwanath Chakravarti is saying there is only one devotee. We cannot serve Krishna directly. This is why Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in mood of Radharani is saying Gopi Bharti Das Tanna Das 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 Das. That I am the servant of the servant of the servant of the. So who is the first servant? Radharani. So this is the next thing we have to understand. That we cannot serve Krishna directly. Right? We have to be servant of the servant of the servant of Krishna. Does that make sense? Okay. So we can't even serve Radharani directly. Right? That's why Gopi Bhattu Das 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 Anutas. So whom do we serve? This is the next question. Your spiritual master. Or in other words, we all serve Srila Prabhupada. And that's how we make our advancement. We do not have the ability to save Krishna directly. So when devotional service, it means how to save your spiritual master. And all the spiritual masters are actually trying to save whom? Srila Prabhupada. So our goal is to help Srila Prabhupada because he knows Krishna. Once Srila Prabhupada made this ladus, I don't know, few of you might have heard. And then he gave this ladus, he gave it to seven and said, give it to Tamakrishna Maharaj. So Srila Gurudev had the ladus and then Srila Prabhupada asked him later on. He said, did you have the ladus? Yes. Did you like it? Yes. How was it? And Srila Gurudev said, it was out of this world. Right? And you know what Prabhupada said? Yes, this is Krishna's favorite ladu. This is what Mother Yashoda makes it. And Krishna likes it so much that he puts it in his pocket and takes it when he goes in. If Prabhupada had not met Mother Yashoda, how would he know the recipe? Does that make sense? So Srila Prabhupada has a direct connection to the spiritual Lord. And he always said that Vrindavan is my
home.
So we have to learn how to serve Prabhupada. So whatever we do, that should be our focus. Right? Anything you are doing, ask this question. Will this please Srila Prabhupada? If Srila Prabhupada is pleased, then everyone is pleased. Krishna is pleased. Does that make sense? So this is how we actually try to understand our position. How we understand whether we are going in the right direction or not. Sometimes we actually start thinking that we are the doers, you know. I'm the best cook, I'm doing all the cooking, you know. And then Krishna kicks you down and then brings you down to a level where you understand that you are nothing. So we have to understand this. We have to understand this very important thing that we are insignificant. Everything that is happening by the grace of Lord, by His energy. All we can do is desire to save Him and pray to Krishna that somehow or the other He engages us in His service. So service are of two natures. One is direct service. You know what direct service is? Direct service. Yes. Doing dityoship. Chanting names. Cooking at the temple. Now more specific, cooking at the temple. This is directly we are serving Krishna. Right? Giving classes is directly serving Krishna. Reading Bhagavatam is directly serving Krishna. Right? What is indirect service?
Maintaining the family.
Krishna conscious family. Right? Cooking at home because you like something and then you offer it to Krishna. At the temple when you cook, we cook for Krishna because let's cook for Krishna. The mood is that we are serving Krishna. At home, oh, my son likes this, my daughter likes this, let's cook something and then offer it to Krishna. Does that make sense? Right? Simple activities like having a shower in the morning. Why do we have shower? Most of the time we think because it's clean. To keep cleanness. If you have this mentality that we have shower because Krishna has shower. We do things because Krishna does it. We do things because Krishna likes it. Then you can be Krishna conscious all the time. The idea is to make the indirect thing as much direct as possible. To think of how everything we are doing to actually connect Krishna to it. And it's not easy because we do a lot of things. The beauty about the brahmacharis and the sannyasis and the vanapras are those that their activities are mostly direct. Whatever they're doing directly. The grastas have this problem that most of the things we do are indirect. So we have to connect those indirect things into direct ways. So how do we do this? We try to see what others are doing. Now we take an example of somebody who is a grasta, because most of us are grastas here. So we look at Nanda Maharaj and see what he does. And then he does everything to please Krishna. So we are doing similar things. And we should do it in the same mentality that we are going to please Krishna. And this is how we connect. Right? So, devotional service, this is what it means. Devotional service is all about mentality. Right? Sometimes we give prasadam to the people. Is that devotional service when they take prasadam? Is it always devotional service when they take prasadam? Yes, no? No. It's not always devotional service. If they know that it is prasadam and they take it with that respect, it's devotional service. If they just take it, then it's pious activity. It gives them an opportunity that one day they will become devotees. Does that make sense? So it's all about the mentality. What mood you take it into. Otherwise, you know, you remember that pastimes about, was it Yamunacharya? Who threw a little bit of rice, somehow there was what was left on the plate and went into, and all the fish who took that rice, Ramanujacharya, right? And then what happened to those fish? 400 form, straight to Vaikuntha. And the disciples asked, you know, we have been taking your remnants for all these times, you know, and how come those fish, you know? The simple thing was, just the mood, you know. That's the difference. So, it's very important that when we do service, it's in the right mood. That's how you get the greatest. You know. If you think that, okay, I'm making this gala and I'm such, you know, I'm doing such nice service, you know. What we should be thinking is that you're actually assisting a spiritual master to actually help Radha Rani save Krishna. That's the mood we should be doing things. This is what devotional service means. Devotional service does not mean that you are doing it.
The devotional service means that we are assisting our spiritual master, we are assisting Srila Prabhupada to actually save the beloved Lord. Srila Prabhupada is a pure devotee of Krishna. Whatever we see on the water, Sri Gaurinikai, Sri Radha Ballabh, Sri Jagannath Ballabh Subhadra, they are from Srila Prabhupada's heart. He took a part of it heart and put it in here. Because you can't give something that you don't have, right? And Prabhupada has given us these deities, you know. Why? Because he has them. So, we should pray to Prabhupada so that we can actually get the same thing. And Prabhupada has brought this all. This Melbourne temple is his embassy. Embassy to where? Gaurav Vrindavan. Let's be specific. Because that's where Srila Prabhupada is from. And this is, if you accept the deities nicely, you know, if you are a second initiated devotee, you know, you should do deity worship. I should be doing more of it myself, people should be telling others, you know, but that's the reason for it. Srila Prabhupada, towards the end of his pastimes, when I was in, I'm talking about November, late, before he left his body, he was talking to Tamal Krishna Maharaj and he said, one of the greatest fortune of the pujaris is that they can get to the lotus feet of the Lord. We can have darshan from here, they get to touch the feet, they get to bathe the Lord. If you are a second initiated devotee, if you got a Brahman and if you are not doing them, then what's the point here? So try to do some direct service. Because when you go and see them, when you save them, then that attachment becomes. Then you understand their true position. Then you understand your position. Right? And then you can actually understand and try to save the Lord. The main thing about all this is to understand that we have no capability. And our only way to actually make advancement is to walk under your spiritual master. Srila Gurudev said that everything that we have in our spiritual life, every bit of things that we do in our spiritual life is all arranged by the spiritual master. Everything. Doesn't matter how insignificant and how small it is. Even coming to the temple, it's all mercy of the Lord. This is mercy of the spiritual master. This is how we should actually realize it. And the more you realize it, then you pray to him, and then you see how things completely changes. You know, he sits there and he arranges everything, you know. On my last trip to Mayapur, which was not too long ago, you know, I went there and every day something was special, you know. First day I went and first morning I woke up, this is after about 2 hours of sleep, I went and had a bathe in Ganga. Right. Then I took Mahaprasad with all the pujaris. That was my lunch. Right. And every day there was a feast of knives. Every evening the pujari will ask me to wait and he'll get me all these cakes and everything. Mayapur has so many devotees, it's hard to get all those things. Every day something was organized. Then I went and prayed to Gurudev that I wanted to go and do some service on the altar, and then Radha Ballabh Prabhu said, okay, I'm doing puja tomorrow, you come with me. And this was on Tuesday. So Tuesday morning, this is Lord Panchatattva's altar, you know. On Monday, they polish Advaita Acharya. Tuesday, Nityananda, then they go all the way. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Gadadhar. So I went there, you know, and I go to polish the left feet of Nityananda. He's the original spiritual master. The next day it was Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And the next day was the last day because I was leaving that after evening. And I started polishing Gadadhar's feet, Prabhu, and then the pujari came and said, no, you go and go through all the feet of Lord and polish them nicely because they put tulsi. And I was thinking, you know, I'm going today. This is the mercy of my spiritual master. Because we don't have that ability. So this is the main thing, you know. If you are not initiated, get initiated. You know, this is very important. And if you are second initiated, then make use of your second initiation. Go on the altar and do some service. Do some direct service. And that's when you actually get this attachment for the Lord. You know, pray to your spiritual master, pray to Srila Prabhupada. You know. We can't do anything. We have no ability to do any service. The only thing we can do is if they engage us in that. And this is the mood we should be actually serving in. Those who have cooked with me in the kitchen, you know, it's somehow or the other it happens. You know. We cook the same thing in that small kitchen. You know, I have no idea. You know. One day, I'm just giving you an example. I think we had about 3 minutes to make chutney, you know. And it went, in 5 minutes, the whole chutney was ready. This is cooked, bubbling like anything, you know. And there's no way, it's not possible, you know. It takes about, you know, 5-10 minutes to start coming slowly boiling on that small stove, you know. This is all happening because we are not the doers. They are the doers. So all we can do is pray to the Lord, you know. Somehow or the other, engage in us in their service. You know, pray to your spiritual master, right? And do devotional service. Devotional service means three aspects of it. When you read Bhagavad Gita, in second chapter, Krishna actually tells, it's basically a summary of the whole Bhagavad Gita, but he mostly talks about our position as the insignificant soul. The next chapter, what is it all about? Karma Yoga, right? What does karma mean? One of the definitions of karma means activity, right? Sanskrit, one word has many meanings. One of the definition is activity, to do something, action, right? And the next chapter is about Jnana Yoga. Jnana means knowledge. Now, knowledge can be of different types, but here we are talking about yoga. Yoga means to connect it with the Supreme Lord, right? To understand that. So what is the difference between Karma Yoga and Jnana Yoga? Jnana Yoga is we are trying to focus more on the Lord knowledge. We are trying to do something, we are trying to do it while get the Lord into the picture. Karma Yoga is we are doing activities and we are connecting it to the Lord. So the activity is more prominent, right? And the next chapter is about Dhyan Yoga, right? So what basically means, and then, so what does that mean? When you actually put them all three together, right? And the main thing becomes loving devotional service, then it becomes Bhakti Yoga, right? So Bhakti Yoga basically means you know about the Lord, that's important, who Krishna is, right? Then you also know about His position, right? That He is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So you have that jnana. Then you act, you do the service, right? And while you are acting, because you know about the God, what do? You meditate on it. So you do dhyana. So when all these three comes together, it becomes Bhakti Yoga. So most of the time we are thinking that we are doing Bhakti Yoga. But the truth is, most of us are stuck in Karma Yoga. We are doing activities and then connecting it to the Lord. Isn't that right? Get up in the morning, what we are doing? Whom are we doing it for? What is the mentality? Is it for the Lord? No? Bhaktiman gets up in the morning at 3. Whom is he thinking of? I have to get shower. Why? I have to go to the temple. I have to, you know, work the deities up. His activities are all spiritual. What about us? Get up, have shower, get ready, have to go to work. Krishna is not there, is it? But what we have to do is, we have to somehow or the other get Krishna in this. Right? And then while you get up, you have to get shower so you can actually go and pay obeisances to the deities. You know, you have to cook for Krishna. If you have that mentality, then all of a sudden that your activity, day-to-day activities becomes spiritual. And then the more you do this, the more you can remember Krishna. There is nothing in this world apart from devotional service. Everyone is doing devotional service. Does that make sense? Even the Karmis are doing devotional service. Because everyone is a clique under the direction of Krishna. Without Krishna sanctioning it, nothing happens. The only difference is some people realize it and some don't realize it. Some are working under his Mahamaya and some are working under his Yogmaya. Those who are working under his Yogmaya do not get affected by the material nature. Those who are working under the Mahamaya gets affected by it. That's the only difference. We are all working under the direction of Krishna. There is nothing that is not Krishna. Everything that is Krishna, right? So if you can understand this bit, that this material nature is energy of Krishna, then you can see Krishna everywhere. Does that make sense? When we taste something, where does the taste come from? Krishna. When you see something beautiful, where does the beauty come from? Make sense? So if you can actually relate all those five senses, you know, the eyes, the sound, if you hear something nice, where does that sound? It comes from Krishna. And this is how we can actually relate everything. And then we can see everybody as devotees of Krishna. Because they are devotees of Krishna. It's just some people have forgotten. Because we are all part of Krishna. Make sense? So, what is the trick to making fast spiritual advancement? Right. The idea is to save someone who is very dear to Krishna. So by saving Srila Prabhupada, who is very dear to Krishna, we can make great advancement. We may not be able to save him directly, then we save somebody who is saving Prabhupada. We cannot save Krishna directly. This is the main thing. This is what we have to understand. We have to understand that we have to save the servant of the servant of the servant of the Lord. So you start looking after devotees, you know. Start looking after those who are doing service. The brahmacharis, the brahmacharinis, you know, the sannyasis, you know, the vanapras. This is the duty of the grihastha to actually do that. But you should do it in the mood that they are all servant of Krishna. No? Making garlands, you know, we should do that, okay, this is to actually help Radharani actually decorate Krishna. This is the mood we should be doing it. This is, Prabhupada has brought them, this is Prabhupada's Lord. He knows how to save them. All we do is actually engage in his service. The mood of the gopis, that's what they are thinking all the time. They are not thinking that I am the best devotee. Always thinking I am the worst. You know. And this is where, this is very important. What does that mean? It's humility. Because if you don't have humility, then what happens? And wherever there is pride, then bhakti lives. Bhakti Devi's friend is humility. As long as you have got humility in your heart, bhakti gonna reside there. As soon as humility goes and is taken by pride, then bhakti revives. So it's very important to understand humility. How do you become humble? What is the main quality of humility? How do you become humble? What is the main quality that you have to help to become humble? That's it. We realize how small. As soon as you think that I'm better than another person, then what is? Then the humility goes away. So you have to always realize that you are so insignificant that everyone is better than you. And the truth is, that's true. It's not something that you realize. That's the fact. What can we do? We can't even desire properly. There's one thing we have freedom to do is desire. We can't even desire correctly. We have desire for this, that, and even... This is why Krishna does not fulfill all our desires. We have so many desires Krishna does not fulfill because he knows, you know, if I give him this, what's the point, you know? Dhruva Maharaj, you know, This is the pastime of our Durga Maharaj. What does he say? Do devotional service. What did Durga Maharaj want? He wanted a kingdom. He wanted to be a better king, a bigger king than his own father. The biggest kingdom here. He was only 5 years old. What did his mother say? He said, how can I get it? And mother said, I don't know, only God can give it to you. And then he said, where is God? He said, I don't know, I think all these yogis go to the forest. He must be there now. And Dhruva Maharaj went. So even though he wanted something material, so this is another lesson. This is what we learned from this pastime of whatsoever. Whatever you want, you go to Krishna. Doesn't matter if material or spiritual. Even if you need something material, go and ask Krishna. Krishna is going to give it to you if you think. So what happened? His main thing was, because he wanted, he went to Krishna. That was his fortune. He was asking it from Krishna. And just because he was asking it from Krishna, then his spiritual master, he said, Yasya Prasado Bhagavat Prasadam. From the mercy of the spiritual master, you get Krishna. And from the mercy of Krishna, you get spiritual master. So Narad Muni went there. And he told him what to do. First he tested him. Now you can do this. Now you can get this. And then he said, no, this is what I want. So because of his determination. So the next thing we learn from this is to be determined. That's the next important thing you learn from Dhruva Maharaj. First is that, if you want something, whom do you go to? Krishna. The next thing is that, you should be determined that nothing is going to stop you. Right? And if you are going to Krishna, he will give you whatever he thinks is best for. And that's what happened. So this is very important point. That whatever we want, we go to Krishna and then we do it with determination. So now we all of us know that what we want. By mercy of Prabhupada, most of us who are here understand that we should... How many of you want to get out of this material world? That's very nice. But what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu say? Yeah. We shouldn't be thinking that we want to get out of this material world. We should be praying that we should always remember him. We always can save him. Did Prabhupada need to come here? In chapter 12, Krishna says, who is this most dear devotee? He tells different devotees. Who is most dear? Who preaches about him? Right? So that's the mood we should be. As soon as you say, I want to get out of this world, material world, what is it? It's about me. Isn't it? We have to put it in a way, start thinking about it, that it's all about Krishna. The gopis were saying, Krishna, when Krishna went to Dwarka, he said, we miss you, we can't live without you. Please come back. Only if that pleases you. They didn't say, Krishna, come back. He said, only if that pleases you. If you coming back here will make you unhappy or displease you, then please don't come. This is the mood of the Braj. You want to get to the spiritual world, you pray to Krishna, get me out of there, he can send you to Vaikuntha, no problem. If you want to go to Golok Vrindavan, then you have to start developing this mood that the only thing is, oh, it's all about Krishna, nothing else. Make sense? So we don't pray, you know, that's why every morning, we should recite this prayer, Sikshastakam, so that one day, by the mercy of the Lord, we can understand what it means. That our only desire is life after life after life, we only have devotional service. We don't forget him, we can always remember him. The two golden rules. So the first thing is we always remember him. How do we do that? We do that by direct service. I was talking about direct and indirect, right? Chanting the holy name, doing aarti, cooking for the Lord, this is how you always remember Krishna. And the indirect is when you do not forget Him. So you have to start all of a sudden finding ways that you can remember Him, how you can connect to that. So the two rules are actually basically based on that philosophy. Direct service, you'll always remember Krishna. Indirect service, you have to find out ways how you can forget Krishna. The other thing that Prabhupada talks about there is that if you want to save somebody, it has to be a person. We cannot save the impersonal Brahman. You know, the Mayavadis think that Krishna does not have a form. That's the biggest mistake. How can you save somebody who doesn't have a form? So the topmost thing is that to understand that Krishna has a form, right? He is a person. You have to start looking at lots of pictures of Krishna, you know. If you have a Facebook, go to all the websites, or go to people, you know, make friends of people who have pictures, you know, always posting about Krishna. So every time you see that, that's what you see. You know, there's many ways you can actually do these things. So you start listening to the lectures, you know, while you are home, rather than watching movies and things like, listen to some classes from Maharajas, you know, there's so many things on the internet now there. So we can actually learn and we can understand and then we try to remember Krishna all the time. Grastha life is not easy, you know. It's very difficult. But because we want to enjoy a little bit, Krishna gives it that opportunity. And I should be saying this, but I'll say it anyway. A lot of these grastha people, you know, towards the end of their life, they have this some kind of bad sickness, you know. And this is just so that Krishna can take you out of this, yeah. Because in the end, we are so attached to our family, life, house, everything, you know. Krishna takes everything away. Parikshit Maharaj was fortunate that he was given 7 days. But his situation was devotee. He was always a devotee of Krishna. Ours is not. So in the end, Krishna takes that away. Takes that everything away. The attachment to the body and everything, you know. So if we can become before, so Krishna doesn't have to put us through that. When it's time to go, what do? You either go by willingly or you're forced to go. Fortunately, Prabhupada is so merciful, you know. So let's help ourselves, let's help Srila, our spiritual master, let's help Srila Prabhupada to actually take us all back to Godhead. And the best way to do it is chant. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. So this is the most direct way that is accessible to us all the time, right? We chant on the chanting beads, carry one of those candles, have it on your finger all the time, and learn to chant on it. And as soon as you put that candle on it, you're going to start chanting. Either you are at work or wherever you are. And then you keep chanting and then you just continually do it. Whether you realize it or not realize, you'll be always chanting. But you have to make a habit that you can chant, you keep chanting. The more you chant, the more direct services. And one day, by mercy of Guru and Gauranga, we'll be able to realize we are chanting. Because Rupa Goswami said there's two syllables, you know, Krishna. He is so much nectar, so much bliss, that even, you know, if we had hundreds of ears to actually, thousands of ears, you know, thousands of mouths to actually chant the name, thousands of ears to actually listen to that, it's not enough. And Rupa, we are all followers of Rupa Goswami. That's why we are called Rupa Nugas. What is the beauty about that? As so I was talking about that, Radharani is the only devotee and our service is to help her, right? The best people who actually save Radharani are not the Sakhis. It's not Lalita, Vishakha. Because they are there as soon as Radha and Krishna get together, then what happens? They go away. That's what friends do, right? But about the maid servants? Rupa Manjari, Rati Manjari, these are the ones who are serving Radha and Krishna all the time, very intimately. And we are followers of Rupa Goswami. So that's the mood we have to develop. They don't care anything about anything. They just have one desire, to serve Radharani. And let Radharani serve Krishna. This is why in Vrindavan, what do they say?
Radhe
Radhe. Because Radharani is the name in Radha Nidhi, Radha Rasa Nidhi. Say that again? Radha Rasa Nidhi Sudha Nidhi. It says that the name of Radharani, Radha, is so powerful that even if you commit Vaishnava Prada, it's taken away. Of all the pras, the worst is Vaishnava Prada. But by chanting the name of Radharani, Radha, you know, even that is taken away. This is how powerful the Radha's name is. So, let us help Radharani, and at the moment I think we can all help in building her kitchen, nice kitchen, so she can cook nicely for the Lord, you know. I think we are halfway there, we are stuck there, the kitchen is done. It's not manifest yet. Just like when Arjun was there, you know, Arjun was thinking that I'm going to kill everybody. But when he saw the Virat troop, what did he see? What did he saw? That everyone was killed already, right? And what did Krishna say? Just take the credit. So same thing, we want, you know, 2-3 years ago we were thinking how we're going to build that kitchen. Now that kitchen is already there. Who wants to take the credit for this? And this is more important than the other kitchen. This is Radharani's kitchen. So we can cook nicely. So if you can help actually do, this is one of the service you're doing. This is Prabhupada's temple. If you want to help Prabhupada, this is one of the ways to do it actually. Okay. Any comments, any questions? Because we desire, right? And when we desire and we think we are the doers, then we want to take the result. So because you think that you are the desire and you want the result, then Krishna gives you the result. Right? If you think that Krishna is the doer, right? So it doesn't matter what happens, you don't worry about it. He's the doer, it's his result. You are in this material world, Krishna is using you in a particular way. That's how we see. If you look at the case of Draupadi, right? Pure devotee of Krishna, always remembers Krishna. Even she remembers Krishna, Krishna comes running to her, to the Pandavas. And then what they try to do? Dhirobhai. Now if you look at it, you know, what's happening here? Right? But that's what Krishna wanted. Then she never said, okay, Krishna, you are at fault. She never blamed her husband. She did not blame anybody else. That's the way we see it. You know? Then if you're not attached to the result, then you're not worried about whether it's good or bad. If you're attached to the result, then that becomes a problem. Prabhupada himself, he went through so much problems. So many devotees criticized him. You know? But Prabhupada kept going. Because he knew whatever he was doing for Krishna. And let Krishna decide. We are not the doers. Remember this, if as long as you think we are the doers, that's where the problem comes. Soon as we realize that we are not the doers, everything is happening under the direction of Krishna, then just let it go. If Krishna puts you in a particular situation, you always see that what is good for you. Krishna has one business in this material world, to give us that realization that we do not belong in this material world. So every difficulty we come through, we have to realize this. The sickness we come through, the things we lose, You know, in the end, you know, we're going to lose this body that we are so attached to. Body. As soon as you leave the body, does the house, you get the house, same house in your next life? Actually, the house belongs to the body. The wife, the kids belong to the body. As soon as you leave this body, that's it. The old relations are broken. Isn't it? So if you realize that we are the soul, right? And our only duty is to save Krishna, and whatever is happening is Krishna's mercy, so that we can understand this, our insignificant position. We can understand that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of God and we are supposed to save Him. You know? Then everything becomes perfect. That's how way we see it. But what does Krishna do, you know? We have all these material desires, you know. Just like a father, you know, what does he do, you know? He knows something is wrong for you, but we go and do things which is wrong, and in the end, father gives up. Okay? You want to play on the bike? Go and play on the bike. If you fall down, you break your leg, what do I do? You know, you go and do something, you want to do something wrong, you know, pray. You know, Krishna is saying, you want to taste something, Krishna says, okay, go. But if you start changing your mentality and understanding that, then everything starts completely changes. As long as we understand that we are the doers, that's where the problem is. In Bhagavad Gita, what does Krishna say? Who is the doer? He said, I'm the doer. Does that answer your question?
Can you explain where does karma fit into that? Like karma and Krishna, the right thing that have you?
Karma basically means that you desire something. Right? And then Krishna sanctions it because you desire it. And then when you desire for the result, that's when it becomes karma. So if you think that you are the doer and whatever the result is, it's mine, then you become karma. So when you do karma yoga, then you do the same activity, but you do not desire for the result. The same activity is done, but you are not desiring for the result. You are giving it to Krishna. So you don't have any reaction to that. So the problem is that because one reaction, right? I'll give you an example. You want to get married. So this desire comes into you, right? I want to get married, right? Now I'm going to show you how one desire multiplies into thousands of desires. So as soon as you think you want to get married, what do you do? Next thing, you have to look at for somebody, a suitable partner, right? Then you have to get a house, right? Then you have to get a job, right? You have to get a car, you know? Then you have got kids, you know? Then you have to get, you know, get them educated, you know? You see how one desire has actually gone into hundreds of more desires? And that's what happens. And Krishna is so merciful that whatever you desire, He fulfills it. So the day you start realizing that, oh, what I'm doing is, you know, the only desire is to save Krishna, then everything changes. So karma basically means you desire, Krishna sanctions it, the three modes of material nature makes it happen, but you think you deserve that result. As soon as you don't worry about the result, then there's no karma. Make sense? Answers your question? So all we have to realize is, understand our three faces, you know, three things we are talking about. Who we are this insignificant soul. Who Krishna is, and we should, how to engage ourselves fully in Krishna consciousness. So how we see ourselves, everywhere we are, how we can actually connect it. Those, do not forget Krishna is the difficult one. How we can always connect Krishna to everything we have got. Your job, you know, you look at this building, you know, the only way, reason why it is strong is there because Krishna's energy is there, His strength is in there. Otherwise, what is this? You know, you have a clay, you know, and then a pot actually makes it in the clay pot. What's the difference between the two? Same thing. But the pot is different. You know, you look at something beautiful, you know, you think of Krishna. You taste something tasty, you think of Krishna. You know. Something feels good, think of Krishna. You smell something, it's all coming from Krishna. And this is how we can start thinking about Krishna and then always remembering Krishna and understanding that. And the main thing is pray. We don't have much ability. Fall down at the feet of Prabhupada, you know, pray to your spiritual master to help you, guide you, and help the Vaishnavas, save the Vaishnavas. That's the main thing. Because when they have become happy, Krishna becomes happy. Any other comments or any questions before? Yes, Prabhupada.
What you are saying is, karte ho tum kanaiya naam mera ho raha
hai. Yeah. Understand that? That basically means Krishna is doing everything, but I'm taking the credit. Yes, Mataji?
Sometimes we believe that it's healthy to cultivate that feeling that we want to get out of here. But even though you were saying that we could just get into the mirror, whether it takes any and stay for that thing. So how far can we go in one of the...
Well, if you say Krishna, this material energy and the spiritual energy is the same thing. Mahamaya is an extension of Yogmaya. Right? When we see Krishna, when we see this material world separate from Krishna, then it becomes material energy. When we connect this to Krishna, then it becomes spiritual energy. Does that make sense? So this stone or whatever we have used to carve the deity of Krishna, right? It is of material stuff. Right? But we have spiritualized it how? By using it directly in Krishna's service. So, if you understand that, that if you are connected to Krishna, then everything becomes spiritual, then either you are here or there, it doesn't really matter. Does it make sense? Our duty is to actually serve Krishna. If Krishna wants us to stay here and preach, let that be. If Krishna wants to take us back there, let's go there. So leave it to Krishna, whatever he wants. If he wants us to be here, we be here. If he wants us to go there, we go there. So that's the mood. The idea is always be thinking what Krishna wants. And leave it to him. This movement, the Hare Krishna movement, ISKCON movement, is not about us. If you are thinking that I want something that you are in, then you are in the wrong movement. This movement is about giving. Prabhupada gave everything, you know. And that's the movement. This is our, you know, founder Acharya. And that's the mood we have to take. And then if Krishna wants to take us, then we'll take us. We will go, don't worry. We will go. But let Krishna decide to take us in. If you want to keep us here, so be it. Yes, go.
On that point, like, it seems like the Acharya, that Yuchi Goswami, Raghunath Das Goswami, it seems like they're simultaneously in this world, but also they're having visions in the spiritual world. So, can you give some comment on that? Like, they were seeing themselves in their broken form. So,
yeah.
In the spiritual world at the same time, they're also having their
experiences,
their subtle material.
Just like Krishna expands himself, you know, his pure devotees also can expand himself. Now one easy way to understand is, when Narad Muni went to Dwarka, and he wanted to see what Krishna was doing in all the palaces. So what did he do? How many palaces were there, Krishna's? 16,108. Now he had to go into each of them at the same time to see what Krishna was doing. So what did he have to do? Expand himself, right? So this is the possibility of the devotees. Now when Krishna got married to the 16,000 queens, he got married to them at the same time. Agree? Because that's how it happened, right? So these 16,000 marriages were taking at the same time. Do you think Vasudeva and Devaki were only present in one of them? Where were they? They were in each and every one of those. So these pure devotees have this ability. They are there and they are here. Prabhupada is there and Prabhupada is here as well. So that's how we see it. And when When they are physically present, who is that? Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj was saying, he said, when I leave this body, I'll be able to do more for you than I'm able to do while I'm here. Because then they, with the spiritual body, they can do much, much more.
So you said when you reach that stage of time, do you have that same take ceremony when you become on that level?
Yeah. If you want to. Just like Bhakti Vinod Thakur says that those who worship Gaur Nitai and Radha Krishna, you know, then they take two forms. So they one goes to Navadvip Dham and the other one goes to Golok Vrindavan. This is the beauty about the spiritual world. There is no limit. The limit is how much you want to serve Krishna. The more you want to serve Krishna, the more you want to serve Krishna. But first we have to get about one body and let's get this one out. And then when we get there, then we can ask Krishna what you can do. But yeah, these are nitya siddhas. These manjaris, the Rupa Goswami is a direct expansion of Radharani. Because Radharani expands herself into all these gopis. So if you put all the gopis together, right? Take all the qualities of all the gopis together, then it becomes one. And who is that? Radharani. Because Radharani wants Krishna to taste each bit of all her qualities, then she expands herself in that. So we can't compare ourselves to that. That's why I'm saying, you know, think how big you are. Remember the hair? That's our capability. If you can set Krishna in one place somewhere, You know, look at Uddhava. What a great devotee, you know. Dwarkas, Krishna asked for, what did you desire when you went to Vrindavan? Now if Uddhava, who is always this Krishna, desires that, you know, what? Where do we stand? When you think about expanding ourselves from 16,000, you know. So let's understand our situation, our position, our insignificant, minute situation, and then just pray to Krishna somehow or the other that we engage us in service. We can always remember him and we never forget him. So the best way to do is always chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama. प्रभात की जय श्रीमद्भागवतम की जय श्री गौरनिताय की जय श्री राधा वल्लभ की जय जगन्नाथ वल्लभ सुभद्र देवी की जय पंचकल्पतरु वैश्य कृपा सिंधु जय प्रभु की जय।